It's almost counterintuitive PR, because it's, even if you're going out and you're trying to promote your business, you kind of have to do it in a reverse way. So it needs to be, so a media release really needs to be helping their, the readers or the viewers or the listeners of the media outlet. So it's not of any interest to them that you've launched something or that you've got a sale or that you've got a product, unless you're actually talking about how it helps other people. And I think that's the biggest tip I can give people. It's not about you, even though you are using it to try and promote your business. It's about their readers.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust you also enjoyed our most recent interviews with Steve August, the founder's coach, and with Robin Bennett, the technology queen. I'm really excited today to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Jules Brook of Handle Your Own PR. Through software and through her training company, Jules runs in-person press release accelerator programs, online training, and public speaking to business groups, as well as providing the press release software for businesses to handle their own campaigns. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. Go check it out. It's free to join, and if you're already a member, just log in to get all your resources. In our discussion today, Jules talked to me about knowing who the audience is for your PR campaigns and where they can be found. We talked about helping journalists by writing your articles and press release for them. And Jules described the step-by-step process that makes a great PR campaign. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Jules Brook. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today, all the way from Melbourne, which is very close by where I am, Australia, Jules Brook from Handle Your Own PR. Now, Jules is a PR consultant, and she helps you get the word out about your business. Welcome to the podcast, Jules. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Oh, thank you very much, Jürgen. It's great to be here.
Now, you work with businesses to help with their PR, and you also teach businesses to handle their own PR, which is the name of your company. Now, in a lot of the stuff I've read, you say you make it easy, fast, and fun. So I'm really looking forward to learning more about that today and how to do that. But before we start talking about all things PR and marketing, tell us a bit about your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey?
Oh, well, that's a great story in itself. So I'm self-taught in PR. So my background was that I had a graphic design business, and I had worked in graphic design for many years. And I set up a business called Handle Communications, and I was going to be the account handling side of the business. And it was kind of limping along, I have to admit. And I met a guy who anyone in Australia would probably know, called Mark Mitchell, who's a comedian. And he had a character called Con the Fruiterer. And I met him at a party, and he said to me, you know, we just chatted, and he rang me about 2 weeks later, and he went, Jules, they've just brought out a Best of Con the Fruiterer DVD, and I've told them you're the only woman in Melbourne to do the PR. And I thought, oh, my God, I've never done PR before in my life, but I really needed the money. So I had gone to a couple of friends who were PR professionals and said, how about you do it, and I'll do the client facing and we'll split the fee. And they said, no, no, just try it. So I did, and I found it much easier than I thought. And I went back to the DVD company and said, you know, look, I've got about 6 or 7 interviews for him on radio and TV. And they went, wow, you're amazing. Here's another 5 DVDs. And really on the back of that, I built up my agency, and the agency Handle Communications was specifically focusing on small businesses and startups. And we actually rode the mumpreneur wave when it started in the early to mid 2000s. So we had lots of mums coming out with really innovative products and services. And then from there, I guess I decided I was really passionate about that area. So, and then what happened was the GFC hit, talking about pivotal moments, and all of our clients who were small businesses said, we can't afford $3,000 a month. Oh my God, we're going to have to leave. And I just had a light bulb moment, and I thought, you know, the media is desperate, like, and I mean desperate, to hear about new and innovative businesses. Why don't I just teach everyone how to go to the media themselves? Because I know that the journalists are not, you know, there's a myth out there in PR land that it's all about your little black book and it's all about the contacts that you have. But the reality is quite different, which is if you've got a great story, then every journalist will want to have it, and they don't care where they get it from, and they don't care who supplies it to them. But ultimately in business, they want to talk to the business owner anyway. So I guess that was kind of my light bulb moment where I went, hang on, I'm going to start teaching people. That was 10 years ago. So it's been a very big journey since then, with lots and lots of changes. I can't tell you, I think I'm on the 5th iteration of my website now, each one sort of changing and growing. And then I gave up the agency in 2014 and decided to take the plunge and did something that no entrepreneur really should do, and sold my house in order to invest it in my business, and created a PR SaaS platform. And that's where I focus now. I have the platform. We've launched in the US as well, and I've launched a whole lot of training products, because another pivotal moment was realizing that giving people the media contacts wasn't enough. Most people didn't know how to approach the journalist, what to say, what sort of angles to come up with, and how to keep getting PR. So it sort of evolved into a combination of training and the platform, which has all the media contacts and the media release template and all the other sorts of things you would expect.
Oh, that's fascinating. And I love how you pivoted around the global financial crisis. I mean, I started my business just before that, and of course that had a big impact on my business and where I was starting, and it actually resulted in me making some changes. But what the outcome has been for you now is that you're in a position to scale in a much better way than if you're actually doing the PR one-on-one with clients.
Oh, absolutely. And it's much more satisfying being able to help other people do it and get consistent coverage. So it's an area that I absolutely feel passionate about. And I think lots of business owners are scared at the thought of PR and think that it's much more complex than it is, and think that they're going to be bothering journalists who are going to, you know, get cross with them. And they don't realize that the media is, you know, about 80% reliant on people sending them stories and pre-written articles these days, because, you know, the journalists are all being made redundant. So the ones that are left are trying to do ridiculous amounts of work. I mean, I had one journalist at one of my events say to me that at one of the big magazine companies now, they're being told to write 7 articles a day, which is virtually impossible. So 5 of those articles have to come from someone else.
Yeah.
And the most prolific writer at the Daily Mail in Australia writes 100 articles a week.
Wow.
So it starts to give you an idea of how much content they need.
So you mentioned having a great story. So what is important? What makes a great story, and how do you put something together that's going to get the attention of those journalists?
Well, that's a big question, but I will. Basically, what you need to be thinking about, and it's a very, I was doing a talk last night for a trading association, and I was saying to the people that it's almost counterintuitive PR, because it's, even if you're going out and you're trying to promote your business, you kind of have to do it in a reverse way. So it needs to be, so a media release really needs to be helping the readers or the viewers or the listeners of the media outlets. So it's not of any interest to them that you've launched something or that you've got a sale or that you've got a product unless you're actually talking about how it helps other people. And I think that's the biggest tip I can give people. It's not about you, even though you are using it to try and promote your business. It's about their readers. And so one of the easiest ways to get PR these days, and this is when I do short courses, I always sort of focus on this, is to offer advice to people. So most of us in our businesses, if we go out socially or we go to a party and people say, what do you do? And you tell them what you do, there will be the same three or four questions that constantly come up that, you know, when I do it, people go, oh, PR, what does that mean? And, it, you know, is it really that hard to do? And I'm sure with Jürgen, with you, with podcasts, people would say, oh, tell me a bit more about podcasts and how do you find your guests and those sorts of things. So my suggestion to people is to take those questions, turn them into a headline. So it could be, you know, how to get, how to find good guests for your podcast. And then in 500 to 600 words, explain how to do it. So be generous with your advice and generous with your information. And what you'll find is that people, firstly, the media will pick it up because they'll know that it's it's useful for their audience. And then what you will also find is that people will look at it and kind of go, whoa, that's a whole lot of information, but gee, that person really knows their stuff, so I'm going to go and have a chat with them or I'm going to try and contact them, as opposed to some people who feel like if I give away all my IP, you know, that everyone's going to copy it and they're all going to do it and I'm doing myself out of a job, but it actually doesn't work that way. It just positions you as a leader. It positions you as knowing a whole lot of stuff that other people don't know and makes you very approachable. If people find you in the media, then they tend to trust you very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's great advice. And in a way, it's no different than publishing blog posts or going on video and helping people with the information that you have. And I like that you said, you know, be generous and give away. Because I find this a lot. I tell people when you're doing videos or when you're publishing something on your blog or whatever content it might be, share the information because that positions you in a good way. And a lot of the times people say, but if I share stuff, you know, somebody else will steal it. I say, have you heard of a thing called Google? You can go onto Google and you can find anything, how to do anything you need to do. So if people don't come and find your stuff on how to do whatever it is you're the expert in, they'll find somebody else's. And if somebody's going to steal it, you don't want them as clients anyway. But the people that are likely to be your client, they're going to say, wow, that person really knows their stuff and I really need to speak to them. And if they're smart business people, they'll be focused on where they add value to their own business and get other people to do the things that they're expert in.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. There's a misconception out there that it, particularly when you take the idea that you were talking about offering your information and it's not on a blog, it's on something as public as a newspaper or a magazine, there are some people who fear that, you know, if I tell everyone how to do it, then there's going to be no reason that they're going to come to me. But I mean, I constantly say, these are the 6 steps for how to do PR and this is how you go and find journalists and this is how you speak to them. And all it means is that people come back to me and go, right, well, you sound like you know what you're talking about, so can you teach me?
Yeah.
It kind of works the opposite the way that you would think it would. But, yeah, so if you're writing a media release, the information about your business in 90% of the cases needs to be a small link on the last paragraph. For more information, go to www.whatever. And then the only other tip I'd give is that you need to get all your information as much as you can into your headline and the first couple of sentences, because all of us, if we're trying to decide what media we want to consume or what article we want to read, we skim headlines and the first couple of sentences to see whether we want to read further. And the journalists will do that and their readers will do that. So you really want to get all that punchy stuff up front.
Yeah, that's great advice. So there's obviously... Well, you talked about the journalists that are writing up to 100 articles a week, so they don't have time to read a lot of articles in depth. They've got to make a very quick decision on, is this worth me spending more time on and researching further?
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing is, I think a lot of people feel that PR is about approaching a journalist and getting them to write the story, which of course is the holy grail, and that's what we would all love. But if you want to get published consistently, then start writing the articles as if you are the journalist. And then they can, if a journalist can find an article with a fantastic image and they can just cut and paste it and put it into their magazine or onto their website or blog or whatever, then you're three quarters of the way there.
Hmm. All right. Now, you mentioned that, you know, the media release has to help the audience. So I'm guessing, and this is something I'm really passionate about, identifying your ideal client, in this case, identifying who's the ideal audience that you want to actually get that message to. So how do you, what's your take on, you know, working out who is the audience and how you actually speak to them?
Okay, so I do quite a lot of work on this because this is how you get consistent long-term PR, is to start thinking about, so we all know who our primary target market is, and I often, much to my dismay really, will meet people who'll say, it's all small business owners, or it's all women, or it's all men. And I go, well, how in heaven's name can you tap into any... You really need to, let me just say it again. You really need to kind of niche it right down. So I'm a big fan of, once you work out what your primary market is, then start breaking it down into really small niches. So if you were to say my target is all, say, all women, I'll use Handle Your Own PR actually as an example. That's probably a better one. So in theory, all my target market are small businesses and entrepreneurs, but there are so many different types that you need to think in the small niches. So there are mumpreneurs and mums that are doing it. And the way I would speak to them and the way that I would target them in terms of language would be very different to, an entrepreneur or a startup. They all have their own pain points. They all have their own challenges. And what you want to do is tap into as narrow a niche as you can, so that you're able to speak to them in a language that will really resonate. I'll give you an example. I was working with a woman who had a coaching business. So she was coaching mainly men, she said, and mainly older men, men over 45. And I said, well, give me an idea of your ideal customer. And she said, I reckon it's a guy who is working in a large corporate and is about to be made redundant, or feels he's about to be made redundant, or he's about to retire. And he just doesn't know what to do, what he's going to do with himself to earn income going forward or to keep himself busy. And I said, well, rather than write a media release saying, you know, because so what she does is she coaches coaches. So I said, rather than writing a media release that's going out saying, hi, are you a bloke and in business and would you like to become a coach? Why not tap right into it? And so we got her to write an article about, are you sometimes sitting in the office looking out the window wishing that you could be helping other businesses? Or are you retired and you've gone looking for work? And I think we probably, any of us who are slightly older, have seen this time and time again, that if you're over 50 these days, it's almost impossible to get a job. Because the, you know, they want them you to be younger and whatever. So I had suggested to her that what she could write about was, you know, if you are have been made redundant or have retired and want to work still, then why not take your expertise and start sharing it with other businesses that can benefit from it? And so the whole article was written around for the audience member who might be somebody who is contemplating doing coaching. She got 16 inquiries off one publication from printing that story. And from that, and I think she said that was six, sort of, I think it might have been 16 more than she usually had. And she said, the only difference I've done is the PR. So, I don't know whether I've answered the question, but.
that's good, because I think it's really important. And I guess it comes the next stage of that. And I'm kind of keen to learn the process, if you can give us a high level snapshot of the process. Sure. But I'm guessing the next stage, once you know who you're talking to, who the ideal audience is where are they likely to be? So, you know, do you need to go on radio? Do you need to go on TV? Do you need to be print? And because that, depending on who the audience is, they may be in all of those places or they may sort of focus on one or other.
That's exactly right. So if, for instance, if you go just to go back to handle your own PR and small businesses, I have entrepreneurs and startups, I have business mums, I've got business women, I've got corporate escapees. I would write a different media release for each of those articles, and then I would go out to the media that those people are consuming. So I know that mums are watching morning television. Mm. I know that that they are very busy around dinner time and first thing in the morning. So, you know, you'd start to mention that in a media release. If I'm going out to entrepreneurs and startups, I'm talking to them about how PR will maybe get them in front of investors and that it will give their startup credibility. Or they can do profile raising. The same thing with authors. So that's another of my target markets. I have a lot of authors that I work with, particularly self-published authors. And again, I would say take the content from your book, think about who you're targeting, and then choose the media that those people are consuming. So what time of day are they watching or listening to media? If you're targeting young people, obviously you'd go very hard in digital. If you're targeting older people, you might go for more newspapers and evening television. If you're in rural areas, you know, you might be going for the rural newspapers, the rural TV, and then radio stations that are in those kind of rural areas as well. So absolutely, you need to work out who your customers are and then what media they're watching and at what time of day. And then from there, you start targeting the media that are facilitating that.
Hmm. All right. So for somebody that is interested in getting that leverage from PR, what do you recommend as their first step? I mean, how would I start a PR campaign?
All right, so I'll take you through all the six steps if you like. So okay. The first step is that you it's absolutely imperative that you have some great photography and that your website is ready to go. So you do need to be prepared from that level I don't know whether I'm saying it's funny when you – anyway, sorry, I've got headphones on. It's all sort of sounding a bit weird in my head. Okay, so photography is really important because that has become a real sticking point for journalists. Every article has some kind of an illustration, and if you don't provide it for them, they've got to go and find it themselves, and that is the bane of their lives. So having some good photography, professional photography, that not only a headshot of you, but something that demonstrates what it is that you do, is really powerful. And then you've got to have your website ready to go, because what the PR will do is send people to your website. It doesn't do much more than that. And then your website needs to convert them once they get there. So once you've got that ready, the next thing that you need to do is to start thinking about the angle, the media angle that you would like to go out with. So for instance, I might do, I was talking to an interior designer last night, and maybe she's going to do three things that every homeowner could do to make their lounge room look like it's brand new, just for example. So you need to come up with your angle and then write your media release. Then you need to work out what media you want to go to. Now, we've talked about thinking about where your customers are consuming media, but the other way is to go and start Googling around your topics and find journalists that are talking about your topic. Now, I've got a vested interest because my website has got thousands of contacts on it, so people can build their own media list. But if you weren't using a platform like mine, then you literally Google is your friend, and you go out Googling, you know, journalists that you could talk about, articles about small business PR or innovation, whatever your topic is. Find some journalists. Then you need to reach out to them either via email, which is the preferred method for most media, but radio and TV, I would always suggest that you call them first and just pitch your story and then follow it up with a media release. So identify the journalists, then you need to go and pitch it to them. So you need to think about, if it's a radio show, make sure that they're not on air. If it's a TV show, give them a couple of weeks' notice. If it's newspapers, you want to go a couple of days ahead. If you're going, if you want immediate coverage, you might go to bloggers and online media, et cetera, et cetera. So you choose the media you want to go to. Then what you need to do is write an email that explains your story idea and attach your media release. Now, one of the things that I say to people is to cut the body of their media release out and put it into the body of the email so that it's just below your introduction. Your introduction to the journalist needs to get to the point really, really quickly. So you need a compelling headline, something like three reasons why small businesses should be choosing their accountants more carefully. I don't know, whatever it might be, which is going to make the journalist open it. And then the opening couple of lines on your email needs to say something like, you know, having been an accountant or worked with an accountant for years and years, or having worked with small business owners, I find that there are these three things that people don't do, and here are my tips for how to avoid making those mistakes. You send that to the journalist. You need to personalize the email. So if you send it out to loads and loads of media and it's just blind CC'd, the journalist will know straight away. There is a classic format for a media release, which is literally just a Word document. So I've worked with people who've done their media releases in MailChimp or had them all designed, and, you know, the journalist won't look at it because they think it's a newsletter or advertising. So very plain media release that they can cut and paste from. And then one of the most important things to do after you've sent it out, these days people are losing emails very easily and things get lost, so make sure that you follow up with any journalist who hasn't responded and just send them a little email saying, just checking you saw this, you know, was there any interest? Because I've got about 50 or 60 small business owners that I'm working with at the moment, and almost all of them are saying that the media is picking things up on the follow-up stage, so they're not all getting picked up the first time, but they're getting a lot more coverage when they go back and remind the journalist. And then once the article is published, you need to make sure that you get a clipping of it or get a copy of it somehow, and then push it out through social media, through newsletters. You can put it on your website. You can use it if you're a wholesaler. You could use it to get more retail sales by saying, you know, we're going to be in this magazine, and so people will probably want to order more. So the stages are being prepared, writing your media release and getting your angle right, contacting the media, doing the follow-up, and then the final stage is milking it, as I call it, which is just making the most out of it. I mean, to me, the benefit of PR over any other kind of marketing is what you can do with it after it's happened. So, you know, if you advertise in the end, you know, what do you do with the ad once it's run? Whereas with PR, it's all about getting that clipping and pushing it out through your social circles and on your website and boosting your SEO with the backlinks and so on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you about leveraging whatever PR that you do get and repurposing, because that's one thing I'm really big on. If people do videos or a podcast, for example, there's so many ways you can repurpose that and use that information, and particularly if it's evergreen content, which is like what you're saying, that the PR is more evergreen content than an advertisement.
Absolutely. I mean, when I launched Handle Your Own PR in 2010, or 2009, we had a whole lot of publicity in the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. And then I got it again a couple of years ago when I launched the PR platform or the SaaS platform. And I can tell you that if you Google my name still, that article from 2010 and the one from 2014 or 15 will still come up in that first, you know, page and a half of links to my name. So it's incredibly powerful and it sticks around for a long, long time.
Hmm. All right. Now, you mentioned a couple of times your SaaS platform. So tell us a little bit more about that and how that's different, say, to one of your training courses.
Okay. So the SaaS platform is really the tool that people can use. So once you know what you're doing with PR, the platform has been built to make it really, really simple for people to sort of step through the process. So it makes you name your campaign, and then you get to build a media contact list based on the topics that you are wanting to talk about. So, for instance, it might say, do you want business or lifestyle or IT or the arts or whatever? So you click on that. Then it becomes more specific. If you've said business, it might say, do you want small business? Do you want corporate business? Do you want franchising, you know, lawyers, whatever it might be? So you click on the ones that are relevant to you there. Then it offers you, do you want TV, radio, digital media, industry magazines, et cetera, et cetera. So you choose the media types. And then you go into an even more specific way of selecting. So by the end of it, you will probably have a couple of hundred journalists that are very much focused on whatever it is that that media release is about. Then the next stage on the platform helps you write your media release. So it's literally got a button where it says upload your logo here, upload a photo, write your headline in here. Then I've got a widget that's a bit like Word where you can either cut and paste and drop your media release into it or write your media release in there. Then at the end, it has all your contact details for the journalist and your email gets hooked into the website so that when you are sending out media releases, you're sending them from your own email address and the journalist will respond to you directly. You get to see, when you go into the sending stage, you get to see all the journalists' names, their contact details, their phone numbers, their email addresses, because for some people, firstly, you want to know who it's going out to. So it's very different from those media release distribution services where you say, okay, I want to send it out to business media. It says we have 66 contacts and you press go and you've got no idea where it's gone to. And so therefore you can't follow up on it. So I am very transparent with all the contacts. You choose the ones that you want to send it to. Then up pops a widget where you can write the email that accompanies the media release. And then you just press send and send it out, or you can schedule to send it out. And then once you've sent it out, it dates. So it says you sent this media release on this date, and it takes you over to the next stage, which is the follow-up stage. In the follow-up, you can make notes about the journalist. You can color code your journalist details so that you can sort of scan down the page and say, ah, those three people have said yes and those have said no and those ones I need to go back to. And then when you send out the email, it literally sort of pre-populates the email that goes out with, you know, follow-up and then the name of your headline of your media release. You send a little email saying, you know, I just want to check that you saw this. Was there any interest? And then you send it out again. And of course, those second lot of media responses will go into your inbox. And then I have one more page, which is really just a checklist of these are all the things you can do with your clippings once you've been published. You know, can you do it? And you can duplicate campaigns and you can copy media releases, but it is basically an all-in-one campaign platform where people can manage all of their campaigns and for a really, really affordable price, particularly compared to most of the other media contact outlets out there. Mm. And so that's kind of the tool. And then, I mean, do stop me if I'm banging on too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my training, I guess the ultimate training that I do, which has just turned out to be so practical and so useful for people that it's got about a 95% success rate, is my PR Accelerator program. And the idea with that is that people come along for 2 days every quarter and sit with me and journalists for, you know, one-on-one for up to 12 hours. So over the 2 days, they get the whole of the afternoon and the following morning sitting with journalists to say, and it's not pitching your ideas to them. It's saying, this is my business. This is what I want the PR to do. What sort of angles should I use? What sort of things can I use to get the media interested? And the journalists will help you with the angles and the content. And then we edit the media releases for everyone. So the idea is that they have three media releases written over the 2 days. And then on the afternoon of the second day, I actually sit down and help people build a media contact list that's right for each of the media releases that they've got. So the idea is that you've got at least one media release to send out every month and that you're learning how to write in a way that the media will pick it up. And also get all those great insights from the journalists that come along to the events. So, and we go out for dinner and drinks with them as well. So everybody gets a bit squiffy and all becomes best friends by the next day. Yeah. And the idea is that 3 months, so you've got three media releases to send out. You're thinking 3 months ahead in terms of your messaging. And then I find that a lot of people lose motivation. Maybe they just can't think of any angles. So then you come back and do another 2 days and we help you come up with the next 3 months worth of PR. And the overall idea is that I have realized that people doing stopping and starting PR doesn't really work as well for them. So if you have a full 12 months worth of PR and you focus on it for 12 months, you should get at least 24 articles published over that time, which means that you'll own your Google page if anyone Googles your name. It also means that you've written at least 12 media releases. So by then, once you finish with me, you should be able to bang out a media release pretty quickly. And the media have got to know you and you've got to know them. So you've started to understand the angles that are working for you. You've started to build relationships with journalists that are liking what it is that you're doing. And then when you finish with me, you can keep doing it for the rest of your life. So the idea of teaching people is a little bit like that parable of, you know, you give a man a fish and he feeds for a day. You teach a man to fish and he feeds for a lifetime. I'm a big fan of, you know, once you know how to do PR, you can do it for all your different businesses. You can do it whenever you, you know, feel the urge to send a message out and let people know about it. And I've got people who are being published 5-6 times a month now, which obviously is doing huge things for their business in terms of steady stream of new business inquiries, being invited to talk in Australia and overseas, being positioned totally as an expert in their field. And it just works so well for people. So I just hate those courses where you walk away and you feel all inspired and 2 days later you're like, oh, my God, I don't even know where to start again now. So I try to make mine very practical.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with someone this morning on that topic. They've just completed their first online training course and I was asking about completion rates and so on. Yeah, that's when people take the course and they're inspired while they do it, but if they don't go away and turn it into action and reap the rewards from that, it's not only is it a bad experience for them, it actually reflects back on the brand.
That's right. That's right. So I actually do weekly mentoring as well, online group mentoring. And what I've realized is bringing journalists in is just so useful for people. So I do bring journalists in for people to ask questions to as well, as the same as the accelerator, because I think that's what differentiates us. You get so much exposure to journalists that you're not scared of them and you understand what they're looking for, and it makes it much easier to reach out to them successfully.
Yeah, that sounds like a great program. Now, I'm curious as to what you would advise, and this is probably one of those how long is a piece of string questions, but how often you would suggest that people actually send out PR campaigns or run PR campaigns?
Oh, no, that's actually a really good question. So I have a rule of thumb that is you should be doing at least one a month. Mm-hmm. That means that you send it out, you're giving it 3 or 4 days before you're doing the follow-up, then you're following up on it. You probably will have to do something for the journalist during that period. And then you've got another week or so to come up with a new angle and then you send it out again. So that sort of takes you through a monthly cycle. Having said that, I've now got quite a few people that are doing them fortnightly and that is working really, really well. Like they are just, I feel like they are, and they tell me that when they go out to meetings, people are saying, I'm seeing you everywhere. Yeah. Because every 2 weeks, you know, really ramps it up. And the other thing that people might not realize is if you write informative articles as opposed to asking a journalist to write an article about you or your business, if you write those informative articles, there are quite a lot of media who will pick it up, even if other media have picked it up. So you don't just have a one-shot chance. I've got people now having 5 or 6 articles published from one media release. So you can start to build quite a lot of traction per month if you're getting, you know, even if you've got, you know, what I'm looking for is a minimum of 2 articles a month. So over 12 months, you've got 25 articles, which should give you a page and a half on LinkedIn, say. Not LinkedIn, on Google.
Yeah, yeah. So what you mean there is other journalists picking up the article that's published by someone, but those other journalists may not be people that you've actually pitched to.
No. What I mean is that if you have an article media release, you might send it out to 50 business journalists across 50 different media, and maybe 5 of them will pick it up. So it might appear in The Bulletin, The Telegraph, Dynamic Business, and, you know, the Sydney Morning Herald, or you might get a radio gig and a couple of other things. In fact, one of my students who owns a branding agency said to me the other day that she'd written an article that got picked up by a media outlet, and then the people at the media outlet went to her LinkedIn and found articles she'd written on LinkedIn and texted and then emailed her and asked her if they could use those articles as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So it just goes to show how everything is kind of, you know, now people can find you in so many ways and what it is that you're writing about. But I thought that was really interesting. So the media is monitoring the LinkedIn profile articles as well.
Well, I would imagine that the journalists, you know, you mentioned earlier how busy they are, that they'll be looking at what else there is and how they can kind of get more benefit. So it's kind of their version of repurposing content.
That's right. That's exactly it. And also, you look, that things like newspapers are extremely sensitive to having an exclusive, because these days, because there's so much online and digital news, they feel they're behind the eight ball anyway. So what they want to do is have a story that they've got and no one else has got. But when you come to magazines and it comes to, say, business websites and blogs, they don't care as much, and they're happy to take your article because they're looking for that fresh content, and they don't mind so much if there are other media outlets that have also taken the article. So unless a journalist asks you for an exclusive, then just send it out to a whole lot of media that you think might pick it up, and you might find that quite a few of them do.
All right. Well, this is absolutely fascinating. I could go on talking a whole heap more about PR and how to tackle it. And, you know, there's a lot of parallels there with publishing other content, but of course, doing it for journalists and getting their attention in the first place, and then delivering them stuff that's of value to the journalist, and also then, of course, of value to your audience is kind of a slightly different aspect or a slightly different way of doing things there, but lots in common with publishing, or even podcasts.
Well, that's it, and I would actually say to people, if you are writing blog posts or LinkedIn articles, then why not take those articles and put them out to the media first? Partly because some media outlets do consider it published if it's gone in your own blog or if it's been published anywhere. So send it out to them. And if they pick it up, great. Then you've got a media link that you can put back into the blog when you publish it. And if they don't, then you're no worse off than you were in the first place, you know. So for me, for the delay of 3 or 4 days to just send it out is a really good idea.
Yeah, great advice. All right, so I think it's time we moved on to The Buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions, okay, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that'll inspire everyone to go and do something awesome today, other than the PR stuff that they've already been inspired to do by now. So
great.
What's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think really you've got this. Well, I've got 2 things. One is, I really think it's important for people to think outside the square, to try and be creative, to dream big, and just try to find the gaps between services and products that are available at the moment. And the other thing I think that's really important for anyone who's innovating is to be tenacious and not be put off by people that poo-poo your idea or say it's going to be too hard, too expensive, whatever. If you think you can do it, then do it.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I was thinking of that while you're talking earlier about the PR and sending it out and the follow-up part of it. So a lot of times, I guess, you get no response, or people might say no, and to not take that personally and to be tenacious is really important there, and of course really important in business overall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new training programs?
Oh, well, look, I'm a huge fan of brainstorming. So that's one of the things that I love to do, sit down with somebody else in business and just sort of chuck ideas around and see where the pearls come out of that. I've actually had the experience of writing a pitch deck recently, which for anybody that isn't sure is where you kind of have to really clarify your business in a very simple way if you are to approach investors. But what it actually has done has been very interesting in terms of future planning, in terms of sales funnels, and in terms of customer analysis. I have found that really, really interesting. And obviously analysing what the customers are doing at the moment and maybe identifying gaps or getting feedback from them that they would like changes. So that helps me develop new ideas, and even price points do, to be honest, as well. You know, I might go, look, I've put together this bundle, but we don't seem to be getting a lot of love for it. How about we change it and we'll mix up some other different things and put it out at a different price point? And that can work as well.
So lots of testing and getting feedback from other people.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. What's a resource that you use most often?
Oh, look, I am on Asana. We use that for our VA team in the Philippines. So I'm a big fan of Asana as a sort of a tool. I absolutely love Zoom and Google Hangouts because my business partner is interstate. In fact, I think we've only met each other about 6 times. And he's about to move overseas, but we talk every day via video links. And then just as a complete aside, and not that I use it anymore, because I have no need, but I absolutely love an app called Quillr, which is Q-W-I-L-R for proposal writing. So if anyone has to write proposals, the way Quillr works is it sort of makes a mini website almost. So you can put in videos, you can put in quotes. The client thinks that that you've created it just for them, which you pretty much have, but it's very, very simple. And they can approve and even pay online using this proposal format. So Quillr, Quillr.com, I think it is, but it's a brilliant, brilliant proposal kind of software.
That sounds fascinating. And there's a few of those around, but I'm not familiar with Quillr, so I'll check it out.
Have to have a little look and see. I mean, I'm an app queen. I love all that sort of stuff. So I could give you a big long list, but I won't bore you.
Yeah, that's right. And we don't want to have people go and do distractions because they should be focusing on PR while they're listening to this exercise or this episode.
Right.
All right. What's the best way to keep a project or a client on track? Talking about focus.
Well, what I've noticed makes a huge difference is mentoring. So I've only started running weekly mentoring since the beginning of this year. It has made a massive difference to my sort of students in inverted commas or customers because it's just that touch point every week so they can ask questions, but it just keeps them motivated and on track, I think. The only other thing that I do is I am constantly coming up with new educational opportunities and I often put that out to my own personal customers. I have a closed Facebook group for the people that are paying for our services and I do things like interview photographers about, you know, the best way to do photography and journalists, and I put those videos up in the group as well. So those are two things that I do to try and keep people focused and on track.
Yeah, that's a great idea, the interviewing people to kind of get their insights and help them. I mean, that's kind of what I'm doing on the podcast, but I like the idea
absolutely
doing that very specifically for your closed group of clients. All right, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Well, in PR, one of the huge differentiators is photography. I know that a lot of people will kind of go, well, in business media, you don't even have to send out a photo. But, you know, I have now worked with so many journalists and I ask them this question all the time. And literally, I would say these days, photography can make or break a campaign. So if you want to make yourself stand out, pay someone to take some fantastic shots. Try and make them shots that somehow illustrate what it is that you do and then send those out to the media. And I promise you that if a journalist is looking at two fantastic media releases side by side and one has a great photo and the other one doesn't, they will always go for the one for the photo. And if you're in the product or retail area, journalists are telling me that if you send them a really beautiful shot, they will make the story work. So even if you haven't sent them a great story angle, they will find one and they will make it work because photography is so important to them. So I reckon that's my sort of number one differentiator that I would suggest that people do.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I think in the website space, I think that probably applies as well. And yet there's so many websites now that use stock photographs and there seems to be a core of about a dozen stock photographs that I don't know why it is that people are so attracted to them, but you kind of see them on almost every other website. So definitely don't do that.
No, that's exactly right. And journalists can, you know, we can all spot stock photography. So it is so worth it. And it also for your social media, you'll be able to use the shots for that. For your marketing and your brochures and your advertising or anything else that you want to do. It just is the gift that keeps on giving. So I try and do a shoot twice a year now just to have fresh stuff to go out with.
Mm. All right. Well, I will have to make a point of contacting my photographer again. I love
that. That's right. And you've got to somehow or other show innovation in your photos. So you need to somehow or other show people how you're about business innovation.
Yeah, that's right. And I haven't, because it occurred to me that I haven't got photos of me doing podcast interviews, and I've got a nice setup here. I actually did a video earlier about my podcast setup for a closed group that I'm involved with. So that's an idea for me.
Yes, great idea. I think lots of people want to know about podcasts.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Jules. This has been really great. Now, where can people reach out to learn more about you and to find out about your different courses and the software, the SaaS software that you have, and maybe even get in touch to say thank you for what you've shared today?
Okay. So my website is probably the best place to start. It's Handle Your Own PR, and it's spelt exactly the same way that you would imagine. So handleyourownpr.com.au. And my email address is jules@handleyourownpr if anyone wants to contact me via email. On the website, I have got all the courses written down, but I also am very active on Facebook, particularly in the Handle Your Own PR page. And I've got a group called the Handle Your Own PR Gang. And I'm also very active on LinkedIn these days. It's my new favorite platform. So, if anyone wants to contact me via LinkedIn, I'm more than happy to start a conversation and see where it goes. And then hopefully Handle Your Own PR. We're in the US now. We've got Australia. We're hoping to do Europe next year and then maybe South Africa and India. So keep your eyes peeled because I hope to be in your country sometime soon. And I am looking for partners in those countries if anyone's interested.
Well, there you go. Opportunity. Okay, well, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
Well, I have to say PR, don't I, really? I mean, the one thing that every business should be doing, in my opinion, is PR, because what it does is it positions you as a leader. You get that third party endorsement, which, you know, from the editor or whoever, which gives you immediate trust. People believe you're a leader in your field if you're being written about in the media, whether it's true or not, that is the belief. And it's free. And I don't think there are any other marketing other than social media, you know, and these days you have to put some money behind that, where no money exchanges hands. The journalists are not allowed to be paid for their stories. That is part of the journalistic integrity, that there's no commercial influence on a story. So it is all about you coming up with a good enough angle that they will pick it up, and then you start getting free media coverage. And in magazines and newspapers, you couldn't begin to afford to advertise in anyway.
Mm. Yeah, great advice. All right. Well, finally, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Gosh, I actually forgot about that question. Who would I like you to interview? Oh, any chance of doing Richard Branson or someone like that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Alternatively, well, I'm sure you get that one all the time. There is a woman, and I can't remember her name. I think it's like Catherine McSomething or other. She used to be on a show called Changing Rooms in the UK, but I know she now lives in Queensland. She has made multiple millions, and she is on the Harvard Business Review board. And also, I mean, I'll see if I can find the name. I think, I want to say it's Catherine McLennan, but I don't know that I've got it right. I will find it and send it to you, because I think she'd be amazing to hear how she did it. I think she started off meeting the Beatles in London in the 60s. So she's kind of that age group. And has now moved to Australia maybe in the last 20 years and is doing great things all around the world.
Mm. All right. Sounds fascinating. So I look forward to finding out her exact
name.
Catherine, yeah, and we'll see if we can reach out and get her on. Now, I'd love to have Richard Branson on as well, of course, but I might need to get a lot more PR exposure before we get to that point. So we'll see.
Well, he's a bit of a PR hound himself, so you never know.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us on the InnovaBuzz podcast today so generously. I've really enjoyed this. I've learned a lot. There's lots of ideas that I've written down here in terms of, you know, using PR as a marketing tool. And certainly, you know, there's lots of similarities with publishing other content. But, of course, to be able to use it in that public space through the media, the value there is huge. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us today, and I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you very much, Jürgen. It's been an absolute delight for me as well.
I hope you enjoyed that delightful and engaging conversation with Jules and took something with you from what she shared. I love her approach to producing engaging and helpful content for your audience and helping the journalists too at the same time. And that's a great way to get attention, exposure, and publicity. And speaking of exposure, the tip about great photography is one to pay particular attention to. I'd love to know what you took away from Jules' interview. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Jules Brooke. That is JulesBrooke. Or lowercase, or one word, innovabiz.co/Jules Brooke. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Jules there, as well as links to the Handle Your Own PR website, her training and SaaS products, and the other resources we spoke about in this conversation. Jules suggested we interview Anne McKevitt, serial entrepreneur, author, and business advisor on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Anne, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Jules Brooke. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show. You can find that at talesofmarketingtransformation.com, where you'll find each episode providing one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. And of course, tune in again next week for the InnovaBuzz podcast and the big episode 200. Now, I'll let you in on a little secret here. Our special guest for episode 200 is none other than Neil Sperling, who's a world-class connector and a world-class problem solver. And I can assure you that this episode is going to be full of awesome goodness and things that you can take away and apply to your business. And I'll be doing a reflection on 200 episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast in episode 201, so we'll have that available for you next week as well. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review, because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.